Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, bonus episode 232. Rise up, he's calling you. Faith principles to receive your miracle. Guest minister Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Saturday, January 8th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Have you ever found some treasures in the Word of God? Don't you just love that when you're reading? And maybe you have to read it a few times, and as you do, the Lord just brings out treasure, just lights it up to you. I love when that happens. That happened to me with this story that I'm going to share with you tonight. In Mark 10, the story of blind Bartimaeus. And we're going to take this apart a little bit, and I'm going to share some of the things that, some of the treasures that God enlightened me with or gave me revelation of. So it's Mark 10, 46 through 52. So we're going to dig right in. Get it? Dig. To find treasure. Are we okay? Okay. Laugh. It's okay. We can laugh in church. We're going to dig in to find the treasure of God. So let's read here. I'm going to read this account, and then we'll dig in. So blind Bartimaeus, this is, again, Mark 10, 46 through 52. It says, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." So let's just pray. Thank you, Father God, for this scripture, for this account. You put it in the Word. You included it in here to teach us. Father, there are treasures in this passage, and we thank you for just giving us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand what you are telling us in this day, in this time that we are living. Father, you want to equip us, Holy Spirit, with tools to walk into 2022 with faith and with victory. So thank you, Jesus, for teaching us tonight. I thank you for taking my words and just ministering to the heart, Holy Spirit, of each person and what they need from you. I thank you for it, and I give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the first thing that I saw here is that there's a road, right? Jesus and his disciples, they were with a large crowd, and they were they're leaving the city, and they were coming to Jericho. And this man, blind Bartimaeus, was sitting along a roadside. And what was he doing? Begging. Right. He was begging. So the first thing that I saw is that the road represents like the journey of life, the adventure, the twists and the turns, right? Life has good things, bad things, ugly things. It's a road. It's a journey that we walk on, like the Yellow Brick Road, right? Streets of gold. But notice then his position. Blind Bartimaeus wasn't walking along the road. He certainly was not running. He was... what was he doing? He was sitting. He was sitting down along the roadside, which to me means like on the side, like maybe in a ditch, right? And I thought, wait a second. The word says he's blind. He's not crippled. But yet he's sitting down. Wait a second. Like, he's actually, his mentality, I imagine that he doesn't have a healthy image of himself. His image of who he is isn't matched up to what God says he is, what Jesus has for him, right? And so many times we do this to ourselves where we have one disability, but because of how we think about it, because of our attitude and because of our mentality, we actually disable ourselves in another area, right? Because he wasn't crippled, but yet he was sitting. So now he's not seeing and he's not moving, like he's not mobilizing. He's not advancing on the road, right? Wow. So our attitudes, our mindset, and the way we think about things, the perspective that we have, can be a disability to us. It can be an advantage if we're lined up to the truth of God, or it can be a showstopper where we just sit down on the road like he wasn't going anywhere, right? And he was in a begging position, he was begging. I imagine that he had this victim mentality, like, poor me. You know, and he's stuck. He's in the ditch. He's not going anywhere. Maybe he wanted his sight so badly. Like, give me my sight, God, and why? And maybe he had dreamt of it for so long. Have you ever wanted something like so much, but maybe the way you think about it isn't right? It's not healthy, and you're not thinking of yourself in a proper way, what God says about your situation and about who you are. So then you actually put yourself in a ditch. And so instead of just having one problem, now you have two problems. Now you're disabled in more areas, right? And so he was reduced to begging. But blind Bartimaeus wasn't in faith mode at that point, right? He's begging. He's like in fear mode, like desperation, like, help me, you know, I'm desperate. I'm stuck here, right? Have mercy on me, Jesus, Son of David. And so it's important that we learn from blind Bartimaeus about how he got unstuck, right? How did he get unstuck? That's the part that we're going to focus on. And so there's four keys about that we can learn from blind Bartimaeus about, because he had an encounter with Jesus, and the end of the story, hallelujah, ends well, right? And we want to end well. We want to receive our sight, so to speak, and become healed and set free and whole like he did. So the first key, what did he do? He cried out to Jesus. So we need to put a voice to what we're believing for. Even if, okay, so maybe he wasn't totally in faith yet, but he must have heard about Jesus, right? He must have known something about Jesus, because why would he be, you know, he was beckoning for Jesus. He was calling out to him. So he must have heard that Jesus was healing people. The word was getting out, right? So in verse like 47, he's crying out. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was coming on the road, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he was snared. Sometimes in life we get snared, right? A snare is a trap. It's a trap that is set to catch a bird. Have you heard this word snare in, does it ring a bell from Psalm 91? Where it says, Psalm 91 verse 3, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. Right? The trap that's set to trap you. And from the deadly pestilence. It says he will deliver you from that snare. So it implies that you got caught in that snare, in that trap, and Jesus is going to release you, right? Because he's the deliverer. He's the one that can do it. So in some respect, he did show some bit of faith in calling out to Jesus, right? And we've got to start somewhere. And so it's important that we put a voice to our cry. We want our cries to Jesus to be in faith, not in desperation and not in need, because we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it's faith that reaches the heart of God, right? But so crying out to Jesus was his first sign of faith that we see. Because like Pastor Karen talked about, with faith, when you're believing for something, that action is so important. We have to act on what we believe. So he acted it out. He put a voice to it. You could hear it. There was volume on it, right? And James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. If he had just sat there, maybe he had whispered or just, oh, there goes Jesus. Not maybe the same outcome, probably the same outcome would not have happened, right? He put a voice to his cry. So we must involve Jesus in our situation and put him in the center of our heart. Focus on him and the substance of things hoped for. Like Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Brother Don talked about this last night, right? It's the substance. It's like you can feel it. You can touch it. You can hang on to it. It's the conviction. It's the assurance. I was going to say surety. Is that a word? Assurance is a better one. I know that's a word. Of what you hope for. And it's the evidence of things that you don't yet see, right? And so this faith knowing that Jesus, my faith is connected to what I know about Jesus, and that he is the life giver, and that he is the healer, and that he is the deliverer, and he will release me from the fowler's snare. Hallelujah, right? And so that's the step one of faith, or things that we can learn from blind Bartimaeus, to put a voice to your cry. Just do it in faith, not fear, right? Number two, what happened next? Verse 48 says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shut up and didn't say anything else. No, my Bible says he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I imagine he got louder, right? After they rebuked him, like, no, I'm not shutting up. That's my hope. That's my where my faith rests, on Jesus, because I've heard that he is the healer and he is the deliverer. So key number two is that we have to turn up the volume on our faith when opposition comes. And I've had some opportunities to do that. Have you? Yeah, because opposition will come. Because when you're standing in faith, the defeated one does not like it. And he's trying to, with everything that he is, the father of lies, trying to get you to discredit God and discredit God's word. And so he is working to try to get you in doubt and fear, right? And so opposition will come. And sometimes it's even through, you know, friends or people that are closest to you or well-meaning Christians, but they don't understand what you're standing for and what you're believing in. And they maybe think that you're kind of radical and a little bit out there, like you're really taking that to heart, like what the Bible says. Well, yes, I am. And I am standing on it because that's what it says. End of discussion. Amen. And we're done, you know. But so we need to turn up and not be afraid. Have that boldness to turn up the volume and to keep shouting and shout louder. I mean, you don't have to shout in somebody's face, but I'm not turning off the voice of faith. I'm going to turn it up louder because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities and wicked things in high places. That's my summary. That's Sarah's version, right? So we're not fighting people. And so if people come at you with opposition, you're not fighting that person, but stand on the word and speak truth to them. And you know, sometimes I've done where I've like rebuke it under my breath and then I just, you know, and speak out truth, focus on the truth and speak that out. And this is what I'm believing. Right. Hebrews 6:12 tells us to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So sometimes there's a process here. I don't know how long he was sitting there getting rebuked and shouting out. We don't know how long it was, but he had some faith and he probably had some patience and there was probably some perseverance happening here. And so we must stand on the word with that perseverance and not give up. We have to hold fast, hold to the word, and not give up. Because, you know, there's a difference between going fishing and catching fish. What's the difference? Well, if I go fishing and I leave home without, like, I leave the pond before I catch any fish, it means that I gave up and I didn't wait, right? But you got to have the right bait. Yeah, bait's good. Perseverance. It's the time invested, your perseverance and patience. If you go home before you get a fish, so that's the difference, right? Is your time. That's the difference between going fishing and catching fish. If you stay, there, and if you have the right bait, that helps. That's good. You persist in faith, then you catch the fish, right? You catch it. You get it. So don't stop believing and don't stop speaking out your miracle and your breakthrough and don't worry about let other people's voices, other people's opinions, even your own logic sometimes, just let that fall to the side and get the picture of what God says etched in your heart. Because as it says in, is it John 14 of abide in me and I will abide in you, and whoever, I'm trying to remember this. So remain in me and my words remain in you, and whoever, oh goodness, let's look it up so I'm not butchering it. Yes, thank you. This is Holy Spirit add-on, so I didn't have this written. Yes. 15, you're right. Thank you, Julie. Which part was I talking about? Verse 7. So if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So having the word remain in you is important here. I mean, the first step is you have to remain in God, right? In the Holy Spirit, be connected to him. And then the second part, my words remain in you. So getting that word, what word are you believing for and standing on? Get that word etched in your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to draw a picture for you, many pictures of what that looks like, and have it, allow it to come alive in your heart. Because then circumstances up and down, you know that you have it, right? Because then it says, then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Amen. Okay, slight detour. So back to blind Bartimaeus. Jesus stopped, right? When he called. That's the next part. Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So his crying out, his persistence, his turning up the volume, even when they rebuked him, it got Jesus' attention. Does your faith, does your prayers get Jesus' attention with faith? His did, blind Bartimaeus did, because he said, call him. Jesus stopped what he was doing. And he went, right? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So he must have discerned, he detected faith. To some degree, even as small as a mustard seed, he had some faith and he went to him. So that's turn up the volume even when opposition comes. The third key is let go of the old. So Jesus calls him, right? So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Verse 50, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. So I want to focus there on verse 50, throwing his cloak aside. The cloak represents his old life, the old mindset, the seeing himself as I'm blind. I'm going to be like this forever. I'm not healed. I'm crippled. I'm sitting down. It represents limited thinking and whatever held him back, those obstacles. But when he knew that it was Jesus that was calling him, he let go of all that baggage. He threw it off, right? It says, throwing his cloak aside, like he was ready. Jesus had heard him, and he says, they told him, go, get up on your feet. He's calling you. So he was like ready, throwing his cloak aside, ready to embrace Jesus now. He took a bold action. He rapidly changed from sitting down, complacent, being stuck in the ditch, to all of a sudden he's on his feet now. Okay, we're getting somewhere, right? Because there's a road, there's a life to navigate. There's a life of amazing things with the Lord to live. But if you're sitting down, you're stuck. I mean, you're not going anywhere, right? And so no more complacency. He's on his feet now. Okay, we're getting positioned. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit's excited when we get on our feet. We're like getting right with our mindset. And we're coming to the encounter with Jesus because we've cried out in faith. And the Holy Spirit's like, okay, I'm putting her on her feet. She's ready to get going. She's ready. She's revving up the engine, right? So instead of saying like, this is what life has handed to me. Now I'm getting up. I'm putting feet to it. I'm on my feet. I'm ready to meet Jesus face to face. He showed up for the encounter with Jesus because Jesus called him. Are you showing up for your encounter with Jesus? When your faith, when your prayers of faith have reached his heart, and the word says that they do, that he hears your cry, then are you meeting the encounter or are you missing the encounter? Just a question. We have to engage, right? What if he had just answered back to Jesus, but he was still staying seated? What does that say? Yeah, I want you, Jesus, but I'm not going to do my part. Talk to me from down here. You know, I'm still down here. Right? He chose to engage and he flung off the cloak, flung off the old mindsets. He was ready to engage with Jesus and receive. God does the hard work. Praise the Lord that he does the hard work, right? Our part is to show up. Our part is to get up on our feet, right? To engage and to receive. And that's important that we don't miss that. Jesus always calls us to relationship with him, right? Face to face. He wants to have an encounter with us. I love that our God is such a personal God, that he wants to meet us and speak to us face to face. So Jesus calls up to where he is to engage with him in faith. And then the next thing, verse 51, it says, what do you want me to do for you? This is interesting. Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. So then, verse 52, he says, go. Said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So this question, I'm going to go back to this question. What do you want me to do for you? I think it's really interesting because it's like Jesus is saying, where are you at? Like, what are you ready? Sometimes we get so, like, let me finish that thought. What are you ready to embrace? What are you ready to receive? Like, where's your faith level at? And Jesus lets us determine that. And he says, so what do you want Because sometimes we could get so used to a situation, even if it's negative, even if it's a sickness, and it's like, I don't know who I am if I don't have this, you know? It's like that becomes my identity, and that's not a good thing, right? But Jesus is saying, where can you place your faith? What do you want? He could have answered, I want a cane, like a seeing cane, you know, cane. I want a wife. I want a seeing eye dog. I mean, he could have asked, I don't know. I mean, what would a blind man ask for? You know, some ointment to make his eyes feel better? You know, I don't know. But he's saying, what do you have faith to receive? And he lets us set that. He lets us determine that. And Jesus will meet you there. That's so awesome. I love that when he meets us there. Like, where are you going to set your faith? Because your faith is a powerful force. Your faith, Krissa, is a powerful force. Juanita, your faith to receive healing for your eyes is a powerful force, right? It's a faith that reaches out to take hold of the promise of God. So I love the other key here that I love is that it says it was clearly Bartimaeus' faith in Jesus that healed him. Jesus tells him, he says, your faith has healed you. It wasn't exactly like, well, we know Jesus' anointing was involved, but he doesn't say, my anointing healed you. The anointing was there, and I think it had to be there, but it was his faith that released that anointing, right? He said, it's your faith that has healed you. Like, that's the key that opens the door, right? So, because without faith, we can't receive from what God has, the anointing that he has to give us. And he's got anointing, and he's got healing, and he's got all of it. But where are we setting our faith? Or am I believing that I receive from him, right? He wants to restore us because he loves us so much. And there's a whole road, a whole life, a whole journey ahead for us and corporately as a church to experience and to enjoy and to walk out the Great Commission. You could think of the Great Commission as that road, right? And he calls us. We're commissioned. And so we've got work to do in 22, as Pastor says, right? So we got to get out of the ditch and we have to get ourselves in a position of faith. So let's just review these keys here. I don't think I said the fourth one. The fourth one is get up and meet Jesus face to face. I talked about it. I just didn't outline it for you. So the fourth is get up and meet Jesus face to face. Don't miss your encounter, right? So the four keys: cry out to Jesus, turn up the volume on your faith when opposition comes, let go of the old, right? Get rid of the old mindset, the cloak, so to speak, is the symbolism, and get up and meet Jesus face to face. Don't miss out on the encounter that he has for you. And so I just want to end here with a verse. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. Let's let our perseverance and our faith work together in 2022 to achieve the victory for us, right? Don't give up. I felt that really strongly yesterday when I was praying in the Spirit at home. That God just says, don't give up. Put your feet on the word and stay there. And don't give up. Like, keep running. Keep running, he says. Keep going. Jesus responds to our faith, and he calls us to meet with him where we're at. There's a miracle inside of each one of us. It's our faith, right, that overcomes, just like Jesus overcame. Reach to Jesus, speak out the miracle, keep speaking it out, no matter how crazy it may seem to others, and let go of the old mindsets, the obstacles that hold you down, that keep you in the ditch, and just get up to meet Jesus face to face. And with that, we receive the promise that he gives to us. So with that, I ask you a question in closing. Is there an area of your life where you have sat down and where you've been stuck and like in the ditch with a certain perspective or mindset about who you are or something that you're believing for or a dream that you once had that you thought has died and is just not possible, and you've sat down and you're not on the road with that one area or thought or some situation? And so how can you use these keys from this story of how Jesus met with blind Bartimaeus and his faith that healed him? How can you apply that to your situation, your mindset, so that your circumstance changes because you cry out to Jesus and you stand up for the encounter that he has for you? So I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for just speaking to each heart tonight and just showing us if there is an area or a thought or a circumstance or a part of our lives that we've just given up and maybe thrown in the towel and sat down, so to speak, that we've acted like blind Bartimaeus sitting on along the roadside in the ditch. And Father, I just ask that you breathe your life from this word on our hearts tonight. And I thank you that we receive it. I thank you that you are a personal God that wants to meet with each of us. And I thank you that just like blind Bartimaeus had heard about you, we've heard about you, Jesus. But we want to experience you. We don't want it to just be words that we read on a page or something that we heard the pastor say or something that, you know, that, oh yeah, Jesus loves me or, you know, a word. But we want to experience you. We want to experience Jehovah Rapha, the healer God. We want to experience Jesus, the deliverer. Jesus made flesh, God Emmanuel, God with us. Because you came to set the captives free. And Father, I just pray in whatever area that you show any of us where we've been a captive, Father, that you would help us rise up in faith and begin to cry out to you, that we would ignore opposition, that the naysayers wouldn't bother us, Father God, because we have faith in your word, in what you say, and that we decide, we make a choice to plant our feet firm on your word and not move from there. And that we just turn up the volume on our faith. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us that faith and patience to inherit the promise, that we don't give up with the wind and the waves, like Pastor Karen talked about, that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who calls us out of the boat, and he calls us on the road to walk with him, because there's so many people that you want us to touch, to bless, souls that need to hear of your salvation power, and you want us set free and you want us healed so that we can be on the road helping others, working together with the body of Christ for the Great Commission. And we thank you for all these things. We thank you for these treasures in our heart tonight from your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would water this word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. we invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.